On a September evening in 1964, a branch line terminus in the north of England waited for the beaching axe to fall. As the last train from Carlisle pulled into the tiny terminus at Silloth, the usual diesel replaced by a steam locomotive for the occasion, passengers in the packed coaches gasped to see a crowd of between 5,000 and 9,000 people spilling across the tracks and a group of folk singers performing the beaching blues. The police had already ejected the local Labour Party candidate from the platform. With the train preparing to return to Carlisle, officers repeatedly removed a placard which read, "If you don't catch this, you'll never get another one, unless you vote Labour," from the front of the locomotive, which was also adorned by a wreath. The final departure was delayed, first while the police removed detonators from the rails, and then as they removed dozens of teenagers sitting on the line to shouts of, "Remember, it's your train they're stopping as well as ours," from the crowd. As the locomotive inched forward, the driver released hot steam and then hot water to clear the last of the demonstrators sitting on the tracks before the train pulled away to the sound of Brian Poole and the Tremolos' "Do You Love Me?" playing on the crowd's transistor radios. As it pulled into Abbeytown, police cars raced to the station in response to a bomb hoax. Such desperate acts may stop a train, but they cannot make it run. The line had closed, the crowd departed, some in tears. The following Friday, the Carlisle Journal reported this great train robbery in uncompromising terms. "With one swift cut of your scalpel," it warned Beeching, he had deterred holidaymakers and new industry from coming to once booming Silloth, and severed a vital lifeline that can mean the difference between prosperity and poverty. A few weeks earlier, the local MP, Willie Whitelaw, had been accosted by a constituent whose farm bordered the line. The farmer complained that if he was no longer able to see the branch train passing in the afternoon, he would not know when it was time to go home for his tea. He was advised to get a watch. This was not just the loss of a local amenity, it was a fundamental alteration to a pattern of life. The old certainties steamed away to the soundtrack of the New Britain. This convenient symbolism was less significant, however, than the fact that the teenagers, the account in the Railway Magazine founded in 1897 felt the word still required inverted commas, were as unhappy at the loss of their railway as the watchless farmer. The atmosphere in which the last train left Silloth was unusually politicised and rowdy. The 1964 general election was only a month away, but similar scenes took place all over Britain during the 1950s and 1960s, as the passenger railway network contracted from around 17,000 miles in 1948 to under 9,000 miles in 1973. The fall in the number of stations open to passengers was even more dramatic, from over 6,500 to 2,355. Sometimes there were protests, but more often the last train was mourned like the passing of an old friend, albeit one the mourners had lost touch with lately. It was not unheard of for someone who had travelled on a line's first ever train to travel on its last. People would wave from level crossing gates, and enthusiasts would descend from far afield. It was not uncommon either for the last train to be barely marked, perhaps an epitaph chalked on the locomotive by its crew, and a dreary sense of resignation among the few remaining passengers. The name of Dr. Richard Beeching has become so indelibly associated with this process that over 30 years after he left the British Railways Board, BRB, the BBC could use it in the title of a sitcom set on a rural branch line in the early 1960s, "Oh, Dr. Beeching," and be confident the public would recognise it. Beeching joined the British Transport Commission, BTC, the publicly owned body with responsibility for the railways, in March 1961, and became chairman on the 1st of June. When the BTC was replaced by the BRB on the 1st of January 1963, Beeching became its chairman, remaining in the post until the 1st of June 1965. The context for Beeching's appointment was the railway's burgeoning deficit. Operating profits had declined steadily since 1952, becoming losses in 1956. In 1962, that loss was more than £100 million, and interest on the railway's debts added some £50 million to that figure, even though interest payments on much of their debt had been temporarily suspended. Under Beeching's chairmanship, the BTC and BRB closed 2,479 route miles to passengers, less than a third of the total contraction. In March 1963, the BRB published The Reshaping of British Railways, or the Beeching Report, as it soon became known. At great length, the report expounded what was in essence a very simple message. The railways had to concentrate on carrying the traffic for which they were best suited, with increasing efficiency, while cutting out that which did not pay. This meant investing in the transport of large loads over long distances, while withdrawing many stopping train passenger and pick-up freight services. In other words, local services stopping at every station, and closing lines on which no other traffic was carried. In short, the railways should behave like a business,